I would like to read a few verses before we pray from Romans chapter 5, from verse 1. Romans 5, from verse 1. Let us please stand up. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the songs and especially for the Word of God. What comfort, what confidence flows from your words. When everything shakes and crumbles, heaven and earth fall, hills and mountains give way, yet the covenant of peace that you have made with us will not lapse, and your grace will not depart from us. For the price was too high. We thank you that you did not redeem us with gold and silver, but with your own life, by which you shed your blood. Lord, together we thank you today for what you have done, and we ask you, may this divine peace permeate our hearts. May it rule them as it is written. Make us people of peace, pardoned people, in whom your Spirit can work and speak. Beloved Lord, let every word come true in us and through us. We commit this service to you and ask you to take us under the guidance of your Spirit. Give grace to speak and grace to listen. You know the needs. We also pray for Sister Chumi. Lord, you see her sick there and all the other prayer requests. Beloved Savior, we also saw Brother Barrier earlier. Lord, touch him. Make him well. And all the others. Faithful Savior, vindicate your word by signs and wonders following. We believe it anyway, but we would be happy if you would confirm it in us. Lord, you also know all the other needs in the families, wherever it may be. Faithful God, we are here to speak to you, and we ask you to speak to us too. And you do not come with empty words, and not with empty hands, not with empty promises. Your word is the full gospel. Everything has been given to us for spirit, soul, and body. Let it be revealed today that you have restored it to us. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory be to your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is not in vain that it is written, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Certainly, none of us has accommodated an angel Gabriel, nor the angel Michael, but messengers of God who carry the word of the Lord. As you know, angel means messenger, and so we carry a glorious message, the message of God for this time, summarized, revealed with a clarity that can only be made known through divine truth and through the Holy Spirit. And we have not sat at the feet of a human teacher, but at the feet of the Lord. And if we believe that God has given us the privilege of receiving all that He has promised for this time, then we must also believe that He will make every promise come true and fulfill it, as surely as His holy mouth has spoken it. This is then living faith that moves the arm of God and brings about the fulfillment of the promises. And that really sets us apart from everyone else. And we will never be in the position of looking down on others, but will always look up to the living God who has honored us to hear all this. We thank you, dear brothers, who were in the GDR. We, who were there a few times, we know about the earthly circumstances. We also know to some extent about the spiritual situation, about the battle we have to go through. But one thing is certain, Jesus is the victor. And if we are on His side, then we stand on the victorious ground of Golgotha. And then all the power of hell can rage. It is defeated. We don't just sing that. We don't just say that. We believe that. Even death is defeated. Do you believe that? Death is defeated. Yes. Then someone may ask, why do believers still have to die? Believers do not die. Believers go home. In the eyes of the people, Lazarus had died. And the Lord said, he only sleeps. And then the people said, yes, if he sleeps, then it will be well with him. But later they understood what he had said. People who are born of God only go home. They pass from time into eternity. Death is then no longer cruel, otherwise it is, but not for us. It is not a thing without end, it is a tunnel. We just go through it and then arrive on the other side, in a marvelous land, in a beautiful paradise. You may have to go through the valley of death, and it may get dark. That doesn't matter. Death is nothing more than a scarecrow that has a bit to scare you. But the Lord says, be of good cheer, I have overcome death. The Lord said, I live, and ye shall live also. And as surely as he rose from the dead, so shall we rise from the dead. And as Brother Branham says so beautifully, we are already in this resurrection. We have already been planned, inserted into this divine life. For thus it is written, John 5, verse 24, he who believes in him who sent me has passed from death into life. So it's just a transition. Let's look very briefly at Romans 5 and then at John 16. You all get the sermons. You have the brochures. You can immerse yourselves in them. And God willing, I will write more. At the moment, I am writing on the delicate subject of the Antichrist. And you know, it's not that easy. But you will certainly feel great joy when the brochure comes out. How many of you read Brother Branham's sermons? I would like to know. You read them. Thank you very much. And I'm not asking out of curiosity. They are precious to me when translating. They are living food. They are heavenly manna. Not from 300 or 400 years ago, but really God's holy revealed word for this time. We read in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How many of us have really experienced this, that they can say, through faith in Jesus Christ, I have received my divine justification and experienced peace with God. May I see your hands? God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. This is part of the foundation of biblical teaching and following Jesus Christ. We have been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why Paul could write, he is our peace. There are people who talk about peace. They talk about truth. They talk about light. They talk about life. And if you look properly, they have none of these things. But Jesus is all in all. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our peace, our justification, our sanctification, our life. He has become all in all for us. Do we all believe that? Oh, that we would inwardly appreciate more what God has done for us. We were all walking on the broad way and were lost, and suddenly the Lord called us and made us follow him. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It is a state of grace in which we stand. As the pardoned, we have no works to show, but we do glory as those who have been granted the grace and mercy of God. we have been placed in this divine state of grace and have free access to God. The middle wall of partition has been taken away. The question of guilt has not been discussed, but clarified, and the handwriting of requirements was torn up. We are grateful for this. Today there are people who always want to settle the question of guilt, but never with themselves, always only with others. Have you noticed that? Oh yes, they always want to find fault, but always with others, never with themselves. They probably claim for themselves that their personal question of guilt has been clarified, but they want to make the other person pay, and then the question of guilt should be clarified. Let me say it today, and this is not a cheap offer, but the most expensive divine offer of grace that the Lord has made to mankind. He has clarified the question of guilt, not discussed it. He tore up the handwriting of requirements, shed His blood, and we can only do one of two things. Either put the guilt back upon the lampstand and move to the center of attention and deal with it, or we can see the cross raised up. And whoever sees the cross, what does he see? They see salvation, grace, and forgiveness. Or does he see guilt? Whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith is healed at that very hour, as the song goes. It is still true today for everyone who can believe from the heart. God stands by His word and His deed, even after 2,000 years. And if it took 1,000,000 years, God would still stand by it, because the price that was paid was sufficient for everything. It goes even further here. We stand in this grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We glory in the living hope that we already have within us. Why? Because it is a justified hope, a hope that is well-founded. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day. Before He went back to glory, He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto Myself, that where I am, ye may be also." He has placed this hope, this living hope, in our hearts through the promise of His word. He will also fulfill it. He will come again to take His own to Himself. Verse 3 goes even further. Here it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." This divine hope endures in all trials, in all circumstances, whatever may come. What God has done in us floats above everything else. It cannot drag us down into the abyss. What does Paul write in Romans 8? Neither high nor low, neither the present, nor the future, neither the sword, nor anything else can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Reconciliation with God is so perfect forever that a separation is not possible, for this is what God has joined together, I can tell you. On Golgotha, a divine union and reconciliation with humanity took place. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In Christ, a union of God has taken place with all those who would be willing to personally accept redemption through the blood of the Lamb by faith. And this joining of God is eternally inseparable. There are people who believe that they are believers for a few years and then they are unbelievers again. Sometimes they follow the Lord and sometimes they don't. I cannot believe like that. I can only believe that a person has to go through ups and downs, but that their connection to God has to endure through ups and downs, and that all things that God lets come our way work together for our good. The devil wants the opposite. He would prefer to put an end to our lives, as he did with Job. He wants to bring circumstances to the point where despair sets in. But this man of God had it so deep in his heart, no matter what all the critics and friends said, he spoke from the bottom of his heart, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." An anchor that reaches behind the veil. You all know the word from Hebrews. In the outer court were many, and others in the sanctuary, but then came the veil and the most holy place, the mercy seat with the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark the word of the Lord. And there God spoke and revealed himself, and the veil was torn, and the anchor for our soul is not fastened somewhere in the outer court. It has been fixed once and for all in the presence of God, in the Holy of Holies. And because God did it, it remains done forever. If we had to do it, we would run out of strength. He has done it. We only accept it gratefully. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We could go here to Hebrews, where it is written, "Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Patience comes through tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we speak of the love of God, we must mean what God meant by it. Everywhere, in all Christian churches and denominations, there is talk of the love of God, talk of the grace of God, talk of the church of God. But who belongs to the church of the living God? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Thus God asks through the prophet Isaiah. It's easy to numb your conscience and go on your way. Someone said to me not long ago, it was a very kind Catholic, and we were talking about people going home, about the struggle with death. And then he said, listen, my sister fell asleep so gently after the last rites. And you can imagine what was going on inside me. People put their hope in what a person offers them. They soothe their conscience at that moment. But what comes afterwards? You can't think about it. You can't think about what comes afterwards. She fell asleep peacefully after the last rites. But of course, he didn't experience the cruel awakening. We don't want any deception, no self-deception, no resting pillow. We want to be certain that we have experienced God, that we have found peace with God, and that the Holy Spirit, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And then it becomes manifest that this love never ends. If we each observe the years of being a believer for ourselves, we will say, yes, there was love, and suddenly it wasn't there anymore. It somehow stopped. People walked the same path with us, put their hands around us, or shook our hands and said, I love you. And suddenly, they go their own way. The love of God never started and therefore can never end. But what we call love has begun, and at the first test it begins to crumble. At the second it is shaken, and at the third it collapses like a house of cards. But those who have truly experienced the love of God have been loved from eternity, and they love all those who have been loved by God for all eternity. Amen? It can't be any other way. What would we make of God? Today he loves, tomorrow not. Today he is merciful, tomorrow not. Today he has forgiven, tomorrow not. What would we make of him? Our God is sovereign over everything. He gave the law, and through the law the conviction, and with the conviction the condemnation. And then, as the lawgiver, he himself had to pave the way and became man, to take the judgment upon himself in order to reveal divine love. And so the mercy of God in Christ triumphed over judgment. For he took our judgment upon himself, our curse, our sin, our punishment. Everything was laid on him for our peace. Why do we read here? So now we have peace with God. Everything was laid on him for our peace, for my peace and for your peace with God. And if we have peace with God, then we have peace with all those who are born of God. And then the Spirit of God will rest upon us, and the love of God will rule our hearts and minds together with the peace of God, because all of this is part of it. We read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Here it is listed, Galatians 5, from verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit in those who have truly received the Spirit as the first fruits. And we want to ask God for it from the bottom of our hearts. You all know the word. It is written in Romans, probably in chapter 8, where Paul elaborates on this subject of sonship, of redemption, and then also of the first fruits. Romans chapter 8, from verse 23. And not only they, the creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This is about the thought that is expressed very clearly. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit. It is about the first resurrection. It is about the first fruits. It is about the birthright. So it is about more than just saying, I am a believer, but about seeing, believing, and then personally experiencing all the connections that God has shown us in His Word. There is a flock of first fruits, people who have been predestinated by God to behold His glory. And there is Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. He made the beginning, and we have been born of God and are called sons and daughters of God. And we believe what the Holy Scriptures say in 1 John chapter 3. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Let us keep these divine thoughts in mind and ask Him to make all this true for us. How many believe that they have really been born again through the Word and the Spirit of God? Let me see your hands. Amen. And by this you have the birthright. The birth from God is the new birth. And our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And James has clearly told us in chapter 1, verse 18, how this birth from God takes place. And thus we then have our birthright. Here, James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, as believers, we will all be able to say that we wrestled, that we supplicated, that we have asked God to help us. This is all right. We will also be able to testify that the Spirit of God has convicted us of sin, of bondage, of things that cannot stand before God. We have experienced an inner breakdown, a change. It was a spiritual battle that we had to go through. But that was not yet the new birth. The new birth does not happen through your and my struggle, not through your and my prayers. But, and listen, it can happen during your and my struggle. It can happen during your and my prayers. It can happen while you and I believe. But it cannot happen through what we bring in. But it is a divine, sovereign act in your life and in mine. I rejoice in this. Otherwise, those who are good at praying would be well off. Those who are not so good at praying would be badly off. Here is the way of God. Let me read it out again. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth. He called us into existence, so to speak. He called us directly into existence. Just as God has spoken all things into existence through the Word, so all who receive the divine seed of the spoken Word into themselves are called into existence by God through the Spirit, and thus are born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah! That is the Word of God. Otherwise, all those who have prayed, who have wrestled, who have pleaded, would be born again. The whole world would be full of born-again people. In America, we would have about 20, 30 million, if not more, and then the whole world would look completely different. No, there is a difference between turning to God and then the wrestling and penetrating until we have received the divine seed of His Word, the Word of truth in faith, the spoken Word. After all, the written Word and the living Word are all the same Word of God. It does not return void. It accomplishes what God sent it to do. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God has called everything into existence through His Word. And here we are told, of His own will begat He us with a word of truth. He called us into existence. You and I have a legitimized, a divine right to exist. We have received the seed of the Word into us, and this seed has brought forth divine life in us. And this divine life is in us for eternity. And so is the truth, And so remains the grace and mercy of God with us. In this context, it is also written that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Yes, of His creatures. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. We've already talked about this. I just wonder if we have recognized the divine meaning in its depth, the effect of what God has set out to do. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. In Him, the Word seed became flesh. He was the Word made flesh. The Word of promise was given to Mary. She was not the seed, she was the vessel. You are not the seed, you are the vessel. Only vessels, Holy Master, as the song goes. But into these vessels, the divine seed will be placed, and then the divine will come forth, born through the Word and the Spirit of God, through the blood of the Lamb, reconciliation, forgiveness, everything that God wanted to and could give us was made possible through the precious and holy blood that flowed for us. But the divine seed is necessary for divine life to come forth. Just quickly, from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, from verse 7, here it is written, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, even today. He has never spoken anything but the truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Here are three things that can only be transfigured and revealed by the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say back then? "Now is the judgment of this world." And He says in Luke 10, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." The victory of our Lord is a perfect, a total victory. The Holy Spirit has been sent for this purpose. Firstly, to open the eyes of the world. And that is what God has done to us. We all belonged to the world. Then, suddenly, the work of the Spirit began in our lives, right? Our eyes were opened. What we could not see before, we were suddenly able to see. Here it says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Here are three things about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. These three things must be fully revealed to every believer in sequence. If this does not happen, our life of faith will go round in its own circle. We need to understand what is being said here in the Holy Scripture. Earlier, we read in Romans 5 that we have been justified by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Here we are told, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will open the eyes of the world, that is to all of us who belonged to the world, about sin. That is point one, about sin, and we will get to that later. I'm not getting ahead of myself, but Brother Branham has always emphasized that unbelief is the sin to which everything else is attached, that draws everything else after it, and you will see what our Lord says about it. I am reading it slowly on purpose so that we can all take it to heart and also so that God can help us to grasp it. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If I were to stop here and read no further, and perhaps preach on this for 30 years, I would not yet have said what the Lord gives as an answer in the next two verses. And that is the point. Most preachers read, then they stop there, and then come their philosophy, their interpretation, how they categorize or see the matter. We don't have to categorize anything at all. We just have to respect the divine order and read on. That is always the secret of reading the Holy Scriptures. Nowhere do we stop unless the subject has been conclusively dealt with in the Word of God. And where God then stops, we can certainly stop there too. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things. I read verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Amen. What would you have preached about this, Brother Kupfer? What would I? What would we all have preached about the first part? What would we have preached about sin this afternoon? The Lord summarizes everything and brings it down to this one common denominator and gives you and me the same answer, namely God's answer. If we listen to ourselves or to others, we will never get the divine answer. I apologize for mentioning your name. You would have preached the same thing, I know it. I just wanted to emphasize one point. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Look up with me the parallel scripture, John 8. If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Is that what it says? So it is written. And this unbelief drags everything else with it. Yes, it can even drag you into the abyss. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, what would we have said about it? Oh, how many examples of righteousness we could give. Here it is summarized. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. One could almost ask, isn't the answer too simple? Hasn't God made it too easy for Himself? No, and no again. He has only understood how to summarize a very big issue and present it to us clearly, so that even a child can understand it, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. After all, He became our righteousness. And after He had accomplished and bestowed this divine righteousness on all those who were pardoned by God, He was able to return to glory. And His righteousness was bestowed on us through faith in His finished work. Therefore, being justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we recognize that He is our righteousness, He is our peace, He is our salvation. Of judgment, what would we have to say about it? Here too, it is summarized briefly of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I do not believe that I am doing violence to the scriptures when I recall the word from Genesis 3, verse 15, when the Lord gave the promise of the seed that would come to crush the serpent's head. That is what happened. The prince of this world has been judged. Judgment has been passed on Him, and we have been snatched from His power. We have been set free, for thus it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Of sin, because they believe not on me. Dear heart, believe today, as the scripture has said. Accept it today as a gift of God's grace to you personally. Believe that Satan, the old serpent, the prince of this world, has been judged, that he has been defeated, that his head has been crushed. He has thrust the thorn of death into the heel of our Lord, as it is written, "Thou shalt bruise his heel, and he shall bruise thy head." All this happened on the cross of Calvary. We have a full, a free, a happy and blessed salvation. I shouldn't even tell you what I was thinking to myself today on the journey from Austria. And if I were to say it, I hope you would all understand. We had such a wonderful meeting in Salzburg yesterday. It's a small gathering, but always intimate and warm, and they know that I love them, and they love me. You all know that. The love of God knows no nationalities, no borders, nothing at all. The love of God knows God and His own. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But I had to think back to a long time ago. I hope I don't mention Brother Kupfer again, that he remembers that time, and if he does, then he should forget it again soon. But the two words, "seek heil," were heard again and again in a certain era. The two words, seek heil, were heard again and again during the Third Reich. I was thinking this on the journey today. It was like a request, like a cry of distress. I thought, O Lord, let it happen once again, that these people who misused these words, who were so possessed and ridden by the devil, but who uttered them, let it happen once again, that we can proclaim your victory and your heil in such a way that everyone can rejoice and share in it. I believe that God will reveal His victory and His salvation. For thus it is written in the prophet Isaiah, they will see the salvation that comes from our God. In a psalm it says, and victory will come to meet him. They will sing of the victory of God in the tabernacle of the righteous. This is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time that God might inspire us and kindle our faith, that we might be revived even by this simple reflecting on the Word this afternoon. His Word is eternally true, and what He has promised, He certainly keeps. As surely as He called the corruptible creation into existence through His Word, He has called the spiritual creation into existence through His Word. And we will not be surprised if in the end, through those in whom the spoken Word has become a divine reality, lips are again anointed with the same Holy Spirit to speak words about the things that are to happen. And God will do it. The multitude is forming, crystallizing. And one day it will come to the point where word and word agree 100% with each other, and the same Spirit establishes this divine connection, firstly upwards and then among us, so that the power of God can become active through the love of God. For thus Paul writes that faith worketh by love. And also Brother Branham said it, this gift is operated in the love of God. And that is why it has become such a great blessing worldwide. The same thing that God has done and said and promised through the messenger because of the word, the same thing is believed by the bride, and it is she in whom it will be manifested for the praise and glory of His holy name. This is what God has said, and so it will be done for the glory and honor of His name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.